Spirit Blade Underground, December 2nd, 2011.
Warning, access restricted, enter password, DNA verification, processing, verification complete, access granted, welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, December 2nd, 2011.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. I'm Peter Franson, the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. All right, let's get into updates.
File access. Updates.
Yesterday, I finished recording the audiobook that I'm working on, which is going to be released in February. Although my preferred medium is still audio drama, there are some nice benefits to working on an audiobook instead. And they're all related, I think, to speed. Since I'm the only performer, I can record at a moment's notice as I have opportunity. There's also no time spent directing anyone else, trying to express or explain a vision or an idea. I know what I want something to sound like and can do multiple takes quickly in a row until I hit the delivery that I know I'm listening for. And although in some cases it can take me some time to kind of find a character's voice, mentally directing myself moves the evolution of my performance forward much faster than verbally directing another actor. Unlike directing myself, as it were, directing another actor involves choosing my words as carefully as possible for both the sake of clear communication and wanting to be sensitive to the actor's feelings. Finally, although I create what I call enhanced audiobooks that include some sound effects and a musical score, the free Spirit Blade audiobook being an example, you can go to spiritblade.net/audiobook to check that out. But, you know, even though I kind of enhance the audiobooks that I create with sound effects and music, the sound cues needed are far less per minute than those required for my audio dramas. So the mixing process is a much faster progression compared to audio drama. Now, all of this increased speed amounts to two significant benefits that I enjoy. One, as a creator, I get to have that rewarding sense of satisfaction upon completion of a project much sooner than I normally would. And then as a small business owner, I get to present a new income-earning product for sale much faster as well. My first and greatest love will probably always be audio drama, but doing audiobooks the way I like to do them anyway can be pretty cool too, I'm discovering. Stay tuned in the coming weeks for more information about the upcoming audiobook release. I'm very excited to give you more info, but that's not on the agenda today. As a reminder, from Friday, November... From Friday, November 25th through Sunday, December 18th. So basically now till December 18th, all physical product that you can buy in our online store is 40% off. And the tax and shipping are still free. So the price that's listed, that's what you pay. It's 40% off. And the shipping is first-class shipping, which usually gets to anywhere in the continental United States in like 3 days. If you've ever wondered about a way that you could support this podcast, you know, maybe you're not like into the whole audio drama thing, but for the other aspects of this podcast, you tune in and listen from week to week. So if you've ever wondered how you can support this podcast, taking advantage of this sale, either for yourself or just as a gift for someone else, would be a great way to help keep me and Spirit Blade Productions going strong into the future. There's just about 2 weeks left until the last day of the sale on the 18th, so I hope you'll head over to spiritblade.net/store and check out the huge savings going on right now. On the show today, a retro review of the movie Idiocracy, and also my dark electronic rendition of O Come Emmanuel as we kick off the Christmas season. And then we're going to finish up with a bundle of listener feedback. Let's get started.
Movie review.
This is a movie review by Ken from Honolulu. This review contains spoilers, so you may want to see the movie first. The movie is Idiocracy, made in 2006, directed by Michael Judge. It stars Luke Wilson as Joe Bowers, Maya Randolph as Rita, Dax Shepard as Fredo. Synopsis: Private Joe Bowers, the definition of average American, is selected by the Pentagon to be a guinea pig for a top-secret hibernation program. Forgotten, he awakens 500 years in the future. He discovers a society so incredibly dumbed down that he is easily the most intelligent person alive. Review: This is a sci-fi comedy, and it is really funny, but it also has a very good message in it about the dumbing down of America now, not sometime in the future, but it shows what can happen in the future. Example, right now, a lot of people don't know the difference between Y-O-U-R and Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, or they don't know the difference between the definition of a cetacean or crustacean, or a mollusk or a bivalve. That's stuff that you learn in middle school, but still, a lot of people just don't know it. This movie is really well filmed, and it makes a lot of fun at a lot of the different institutions that we take for granted right now, and a lot of the big box stores, such as Costco or Walmart. They have one scene where he goes into the store and absolutely everything is in there, but they've got shuttles to go from one point to another. And if you miss the shuttle, then you have to wait like a day or something. It's funny as a good joke on some of the big box stores now. He also uses his superior intelligence to get out of some pretty bad situations. There's one point where he screws up and they're going to kill him that night, and he uses his intelligence to get out of the situation. It's sort of like a gladiator ring with two monster trucks that are going to run him over, and he has like a little Yugo or something like that. It's fun. It's fun. It also makes fun of people that follow advertising. The big corporations for sports drinks, they have duped the people into believing that you really need to drink a sports drink all of the time instead of drinking water. So all of the fountains and all of the water faucets, they spew out this purple-looking sports drink. Well, there's a downside to that also, because the people think that you can water plants with it. And everything is dying because it's not getting actual water. It's getting these sports drinks. And they tell him that if he doesn't figure out how to make the plants grow, since he's so smart, they're just going to go ahead and kill him. So he figures out that it's the sports drinks that they're watering the plants with. And he gets them to start watering them with water instead of this sports drink. And the crops start growing and people start eating the way they should. One of the funny scenes is he shows up at this guy's house, actually through this guy's house, because the little hibernation pod kind of crashes through this guy's apartment. And this guy is sitting watching TV, and he's in like an easy chair, but the easy chair is actually a toilet, so that the guy doesn't actually have to get up and go to the toilet. He can just sit there. I have actually seen things like that for gamers. I mean, it's just too scary on how some of the things that they picked up and that they use as real things in the future. When you watch this movie, if you watch this movie, really think about what they're trying to say. And maybe you'll decide that you need to take a science course, because the United States is really getting behind on that. But this has been my review. Thank you for listening. Aloha.
Well, thanks for the review, Ken. I caught, I don't remember if I saw the whole thing, but I caught at least some of that movie on TV a couple of years ago, maybe. And I thought it was interesting. As sci-fi comedy, which there aren't many like sci-fi comedies out there. Most sci-fi is pretty serious. So, but this is like, you know, this comedic sci-fi was kind of fun. Also thought-provoking as a commentary on modern American culture and our tendency to neglect learning in favor of whatever is easiest or more pleasurable in the moment. You know, I think it's interesting. I almost get the sense that we feel like we are more intelligent and smarter or more cultured or whatever because we can Google anything that we want to know. But do we really retain any of that stuff that we Google or check out on Wikipedia? And then there's the whole trustworthiness factor of sources like Wikipedia and stuff. But that's a whole different conversation. It's interesting how we just kind of neglect learning and deep thinking in favor of just kind of pleasure and just whatever's easiest and most fun in the moment. And I can't help but wonder if that's maybe especially relevant to us geeks, because we can be so, I'm speaking for myself here, we can be so passionate about our hobbies and the stuff that we just, you know, as we say, geek out over. We just kind of explode with excitement over these niche things that we've really come to enjoy. We can enjoy those hobbies so much that they can consume massive amounts of time. And I can currently attest to that as a player of Elder Scrolls Skyrim right now. I really have to kind of like cut myself off because I could just play that thing until my 360 dies, which of course I'm on one of the old 360s, so that would probably just be about, what, 4 hours? But anyway, so these things can really consume massive amounts of time, resulting in the neglect of more important things, you know, family and relationships, worship, and just learning as well, just learning and really thinking deeply and learning about things more deeply. Someone was commenting, we had some friends over this last weekend, and they were talking about how one of their traditions when they get together with their family over Thanksgiving is to get out games, and one of the games that they've played for years is Trivial Pursuit. And they've noticed as they've progressed that the questions are getting easier and easier. Like when they go back and look at the earlier edition questions and compare them to now, they're just getting easier and easier. And I'm like, yikes, that is not a good sign. If the companies are like, oh, people are getting a little bit dumb, we should make these questions a little easier so that, you know, people can keep playing them. That thing I say at the end of the podcast about seeking truth and just really wanting to be about seeking truth, that's not just about like seeking some kind of spiritual truth or religious truth or truth about God or whatever. That's really about seeking all truth, you know, determining what is real in all areas of life, avoiding denial of the facts to suit our preferences, and actively seeking out what is true in any given circumstance. Idiocracy, I almost want to say idiosyncrasy, but idiocracy, I think, is kind of an interesting example of, not that I think we would ever get to that point where it would be like so comedic and just crazy, but that's an interesting exaggeration of kind of where we are now. So again, Ken, thanks for the review and your thoughts on that. You know, if you'd like to join the Spirit Blade Underground like Ken did by contributing a review, news, or other geekiness of any kind, if you just want to talk about something you geek out over and why you think it's awesome, send a written email or a recorded audio file to Pater, Paeter, at spiritblade.net to get it on this podcast. You can also record your content for me to play on the show by calling 206-350-1226. Well, it's become a tradition at Spirit Blade Productions and this podcast for me to offer a free download of my rendition of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It's kind of a dark electronic / industrial version that I kind of aim to make sound haunting and to be thought-provoking. And I don't know if it's any of those things when you listen to it, but anyway, I enjoyed putting it together. You can listen to it right now on the podcast today, and if you enjoy it, you can download the full quality MP3 file for free at spiritblade.net/freestuff. spiritblade.net/freestuff. You'll find it under, on the left, scroll down under new features. It's right there. It's going to be there for free download until the end of December. So take a listen. I hope you enjoy. In ancient times didst give.
in cloud and majesty.
the future. A world with a quest for truth is a thing of the past.
Look, your truth just isn't true for me, okay?
The truth does not require your belief. It simply is, regardless of your personal convictions.
I think the world's been blinded, Ebony. Everybody claims to be spiritual, whatever the drac that means, but nobody really knows anything about the spiritual world.
Merrick, this is crazy. You can't talk like this.
And they'll do anything to keep it out of our future.
It's Atlantis! They found us again!
An alien race has blessed us with amazing technology.
Merrick, the world we live in is incredible.
While a race of demons destroys who we are.
Do you believe in the supernatural, Mr. Vandarius?
We shall bathe in your blood, humans.
Brothers, tonight marks the end of our subjection to the only. Humanity will be wiped from the map of history.
We've traveled across our world and even into another.
What we can see with our eyes is of little consequence in the grand scheme of things. It is what occurs in the other world around us that should have us concerned.
What the frest just happened? Was that the
other world?
We've been hunted by humans, aliens, and things I don't have a name for.
I'm the future, Vincent. The ultimate life form.
There's too many of them! One goes down and three more take its place!
All because we're looking for the one weapon that can bring an end to this conflict forever.
Give me the sword!
A weapon known only as the Spirit Blade.
Oh, I can feel its power from here!
Oh yeah? Well, tell me what this feels like.
For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Recently, I've invited pastor, geek, and friend Nathan J. Norman to lead us on our search for truth. He'll be continuing to take us through an interesting look at the book of Habakkuk this week and next. Hope you enjoy.
Hi, this is Nathan James Norman, one of the pastors over at Valencia Hills Community Church, and we are going to be looking at the next part of the book of Habakkuk. So if you have your Bibles, flip open to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. And you know, you don't have to look far to see instances where evil people triumph, do you? I mean, just turn on the news. Bank robbers are never caught. Politicians get away with things that you and I would go to prison for. Murders go unsolved every year. And in your own life, I mean, it doesn't have to be the news. You can, you know of gossips who ruin reputations and they never pay for it. And you know of men who abuse women physically and psychologically and they get away with it. And we could go on and on. The old adage, crime doesn't pay, seems like a joke sometimes. Because we look around right now, and it seems like, well, sometimes crime does pay. So then, how should believers respond to the victories of the wicked? Well, believers should trust that God will bring about his plan. So, as we look at all the injustices we see, instead of becoming frustrated, we need to have faith that God is already working. Habakkuk had this same problem in his day. You see, God had already revealed that he was going to use wicked Babylon to judge the less wicked kingdom of Judah. Now, we saw last week that Judah was wicked, but not nearly as much as Babylon. And here's how Habakkuk responds to that, though, because it just doesn't seem right. Now, we're reading in Habakkuk 1, 12 through 13. He says, "Are you not from eternity, Yahweh my God, my Holy One? You will not die. Lord, you appoint them to execute judgment? My rock, you destined them to punish us? Your eyes are too pure to look on evil, and you cannot tolerate wrongdoing. So why do you tolerate those who are treacherous? Why are you silent while one who is wicked swallows up one who is more righteous than himself? And I'll skip over to chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. So Habakkuk says, I'm going to listen to what God has to say about my complaint. But really, I mean, things don't seem to be getting better. They're only worse. It seems like, you know, Judah's doing evil. And Babylon, who's even worse than them, is going to be defeating them. So it's like evil is getting everything. And that's probably how it seems like today sometimes. Whether you're in school, or it's your politics, or you're looking at the country, or even your own home. So we have Habakkuk, and he's waiting for a little while to see what God has to say. And let's see how God responds in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. He says, look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity. But the righteous one will live by his faith. So God is saying, look, you know, Babylon's ego is inflated. They're without integrity. But the righteous one will live by faith. Jump down to chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. God says, woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and founds a town with injustice. Is it not from the Lord of hosts that the people labor only to fuel the fire and countries exhaust themselves for nothing? See, God is essentially saying here, he's going to also judge Babylon. But in the meantime, before God judges these wicked people, he says his righteous ones who have lives characterized by faith or trust will live by trust. He says righteous ones will live by trust or faith. Now, do you think this is hard to do? Absolutely. I mean, we want to do something, but often find ourselves powerless. So, I don't know about you, but when I find myself powerless, I get angry at God, I get disappointed in life, and I get very, very cynical. Let's kind of dive in and look what trusting God and trusting that God has a plan in progress in the middle of evil, what does it look like? Well, it's like when my cat Duncan was a little kitten. You know, I'm a speculative writer, so of course I have to have cats. And when we first got Duncan, he was this tiny little kitten, and he was sick when we adopted him, because of course we adopted him from the shelter, and they're not terribly healthy there. So we had to have him on this cherry-flavored medicine twice a day. We had to give it to him. And do you think he liked it? I mean, no, absolutely not. If you could ask him, he would say that what we're doing is evil as we try to, like, cram this stuff down his throat. But, you know, even though there's no immediate effect, in the long run, he's getting better as a result of the medicine. So, even in the middle of all the evils of our world, we need to trust that God is actively working and he has a plan. Or, for instance, imagine that you come home one day and you catch a sibling with a brand new, never been opened, 1 terabyte iPod. I mean, I don't even think they have those yet, but that would be awesome. You know, so you ask this person, hey, where did that come from? And let's say it's your brother, and he totally lies to you and says, oh, he's holding it for a friend, which is totally a lie. You know, he's lying about it. So you tell a parent, and your parent just acts like they don't care, you know. But they should care because your sibling is either a liar or a thief or probably both. So what do? You have some options here. Do you drop it and let your parents handle it? That's one possibility. Do you take matters into your own hands and anything like me, beat it out of your brother until he talks to you? Or do you let it fester? Do you know that something's wrong and you just let it kind of simmer inside of you until you get angrier and angrier? Well, in this scenario, as it turns out, let's say your parents were putting together a surprise party. I mean, it's huge, it's awesome, and it's almost perfect. Now, obviously your sibling lied to cover it up because they didn't want you to know. But let me ask you this, was it wrong that your sibling lied? Yeah, of course it is. You know, but in the end, your parents used everything to work together for good. And in the same way, you can go through life angry at God for allowing injustice, or you can trust that He has an amazing plan that's already going on. And in spite of other people's sins, He's going to work it out. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, why doesn't God act now? You might be tempted to think that He doesn't do anything, like a stone or a wood idol. And let's read in Habakkuk 2:18-20 what Habakkuk says. In verse 18, he says, "What use is a carved idol after its craftsman carves it? It is only a cast image, a teacher of lies, for the one who crafts its shape trusts in it and makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, 'Wake up,' or to a mute stone, 'Come alive.' Can it teach? Look, it may be plated with gold and silver, yet there is no breath in it at all." But, and this is cool, because Habakkuk really gets into it. He says, you know, our God is not like these things. He says, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let everyone on earth be silent in His presence." You know, God is waiting so that as many people can come to salvation in Jesus as possible. God is not silent. He can hear. He's not like the idols who can affect nothing. But He's waiting so that all will come to Him, or as many will come to Him as possible. He's super patient, and He's waiting to judge until, you know, a people group or culture reaches sort of... Let's try that again. But God is also super patient, and He's waiting to bring final judgment until a person or a people group reaches a sort of like complete evil level. You know, He's compassionate, He's filled with mercy, and He's not going to bring judgment until there's just no going back. And you know what else? It's hard to say this, but God's plan is it's a mystery right now. So we won't always know what God's purpose and plan in allowing evil to continue is. But that's where trust comes in. Because, like I said before, believers should respond to the victories of the wicked by trusting that God will bring about His plan. I mean, sure, it's hard to do. We either want to fix the situation or we want it to go away. But think about it like this. On this side of eternity, how can you please God? Well, you can do good works, but that's more about loving others. On this side of eternity, can you hug God? Can you go to the movies with God? Can you invite God out for coffee? But fortunately, God tells us right here in Habakkuk, you know, how you can please God. He says, "The righteous will live by faith." If you want to please God, trust Him. You might pray, "Look, God, I don't know why my parents are arguing, or I don't know why you're letting horrible things happen. I don't understand why my spouse or significant other is treating me like this. But God, I trust you. And God, I trust that you have a plan in all of this." So wait for it. Wait for it. Trusting God. His plan is coming.
Incoming transmission.
Hey, Peter, this is Shane. I was calling because I was hoping you could kind of recap your belief on when you die. And what I mean by that is, some time ago when we were in a home group together, you kind of talked about how you're invincible until your time. And then at your time, there's really nothing you can do to prevent yourself from dying because it's your time. And until that point, you're invincible. Anyway, I just remember that, and I was wondering if you could just recap that and have any scriptural basis and whatnot. And the reason for this is I just had a friend die on a motorcycle. And it's just an interesting interesting thing to go through. Anyway, talk to you later, dude. And I am seeking the truth.
Thanks for the call, Shane. I was really sorry to hear about your friend. And, you know, you and I spoke on the phone earlier, but I'm going to recap some of that conversation here for listeners. I don't specifically remember saying that, but it does sound like something I would say. Because God knows the day of our death, it doesn't catch him by surprise. We might think of someone dying young as having their life, you know, kind of cut short, or we might say being taken prematurely or dying prematurely. But this isn't really the case. That's just kind of from our limited human perspective. Their life lasts exactly as long as it's meant to in order to bring about what God is doing in both the small picture and the big picture. There are a number of verses expressing God's intimate knowledge of every detail of our lives, but you asked me to look for something as we talked about, you know, specifically God knowing the number of our days. So here's what I found specifically regarding God knowing the number of our days. Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 5 here. It says, "Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Since his days are determined, and the number of his months is with you," and this is you being God, "and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass." And then that verse kind of goes on to resolve that thought. You know, in this context, Job adds a little bit of gloom to the idea. You know, that's the kind, I mean, for what Job is going through, you can't help but, you know, there'd be a sense of gloom. But I think there's also encouragement to be taken from resigning ourselves to the fact of our eventual departure from this world and this body, and that it won't happen prematurely, but just as God planned it to work out. In fact, there is extra encouragement to be found when reading these verses next to Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So I hope that's some encouragement to you, Shane, and to anybody else who might be kind of having similar thoughts or going through something similar. Let's see. This week, Matthew wrote both on the forums and the podcast site, left a comment there. He left the same thing on both places. Matthew wrote, "Always enjoy the podcast and the Bible study at the end. You have an amazing ministry that helps educate as well as entertain. However, I would have to respectfully disagree with Mr. Nathan James Norman on his views about Christian responsibility in our nation today. I've written extensively on the believer's role in government, family, church, community, and state, and in our interactions with those around us through arts and the various sciences. The United States is unique as it was clearly founded upon a biblical/Christian worldview, and unfortunately Christians have retreated from standing vigilant in sharing God's law and truth in every aspect of life today. If we take serious witnessing and being a light, the wondrous work of salvation in the individual, and eventually the community too, will result in a changed place. Jonah tried to flee the destruction and shun his responsibility, but God had other plans. Please see the article I was inspired to write after listening to this lesson, and decide for yourself after reading a bit on American history and a scriptural standpoint for where I'm coming from. Thanks." And I've put the link to the article that Matthew wrote in the show notes, so you can check that out and kind of get more on his perspective there. In my response, I wrote, "Hi Matthew, thanks for the feedback. I also responded to this where you posted it on the forums, spiritblade.net/forums. For folks who don't frequent the forums, I copied my response here, but you can also see Nathan's response and keep the discussion going if you'd like at the forums. You make some very good points, and I enjoyed reading your article. I don't think I see any real conflict between your view and Nathan's. I won't speak for Nathan, but it seemed to me the focus of his writing was on how we, and I should add, you know, what he shared on the podcast, because he was just sharing what he wrote. The focus of his writing was on how we emotionally deal with evil and injustice, rather than how we should respond in terms of action. The questions he raised seemed more along the lines of, why is God allowing this, rather than what should I be doing about this? The question really depends on what he means by dealing with evil and injustice. Although it wasn't his focus, Nathan commented on our potentially active response to evil. And quoting him, I wrote, "In the same way as Christians, we can try and share Christ with those around us. We can try and be a good influence," unquote. I would add to this that we should do these things whenever possible. I'd wager Nathan would agree too. But we shouldn't be surprised or dismayed when doing so does not change the culture. Even Jesus, God himself, was not able to change the culture surrounding him in his time on earth. Just a small pocket of it, if that. He was still crucified, and it wasn't until many years later that his work on earth changed entire cultures. Mickey Bryce, pastor and voice of Isaiah in Spirit Blade, once said to me regarding his philosophy of performance preparation, "You've got to work, practice, and prepare with the amount of effort you'd give if it all depended on you, and then give it all to God, because it really all depends on him." In the same way, I see what you're saying and what Nathan is saying as very compatible. We should engage the culture in every way possible on behalf of Christ, but be content to let God clean up injustice and evil in the end. Nathan Norman also commented on this topic at the forums, which you guys can all check out at spiritblade.net/forums under the forum titled Seeking Truth. And feel free to join that conversation as well if you'd like to add some thoughts there. So thanks again, Matthew, for posting that on both the forums and on the podcast page. Now, once again, I have to apologize for not noticing a comment on the podcast page until long after it was posted. In this case, early September. Yikes. The thing is, Libsyn only puts a small print notification on the page when I log into my podcast control panel, and I also don't get... the point size is really small. It's like, oh, you have comments, you know, off in the corner here. And I also don't get any email notification when someone leaves a comment. So those are very easy for me to miss, and people post there so infrequently that I often forget to look. And so I'm really sorry about that, guys. I'll continue to try and develop a solution to somehow help me with that problem. In the meantime, I want to share what one listener posted by the screen name of You Suck, in all caps, regarding some of my thoughts on the movie Paul. This is back in September, and wondering whether or not it would have been more controversial if it had mocked Hindu theism or Islamic theism instead of Christian theism. That's a little bit of what I kind of expressed there, just wondering about that. And in response to that, I assume, You Suck writes, "Yes, that's right. Christianity is always the victim. Keep thinking that in your small little world." In my response, I wrote, "Sorry for the late response, You Suck. I keep missing the notices Libsyn gives me that I have comments waiting for moderation. The delay in response was not intentional. Thanks for the comment. I'm confused about where it's coming from, however. I certainly didn't say that Christianity is always the victim. That strikes me as an extreme exaggeration of my thoughts and a view that I definitely don't take. What I said was that I can't help but wonder if this movie being Paul, would have been more controversial if the subject of theism bashing would have been Islam or Hinduism instead of the far more common target of Christianity. And regarding, like, you know, how common the target how common a target Christianity is, I continued by writing, "Maybe you and I are just watching different movies. I can't recall a single film in which the beliefs of Islam or Hinduism are called into question. If you're interested, maybe we could compare notes and create two lists of movies, one in which the beliefs of Christianity are called into question, and another in which those of Islam or Hinduism are called into question. I know tone is difficult to convey through text alone, so let me try to assure you that I'm not feeling victimized or outraged by this movie or others like it. I just find this phenomenon in the realm of entertainment to be an interesting inconsistency in our culture's desire for tolerance. If you'd like to continue the discussion further, please respond here or feel free to email me privately at Pater, P-A-E-T-E-R, at spiritblade.net, and indicate if you would prefer not to have your email shared on the show. Thanks again for your comment." Again, sorry about the delay to everyone that's happened to. I've considered shutting down the comment options on the podcast site altogether because I don't want people to feel like I'm ignoring them or don't like what they've posted, and so that's why I'm, you know, not, you know, okaying it, because the comments have to come to me and I have to approve them before they go up, and I don't think I've ever disapproved of a single comment. But anyway, I would hate for people to think that, like, I'm screening them because I don't like what they're saying. It's just this stupid thing where I don't notice the comments coming in. So I've considered, because of that being so frustrating to me, shutting down the comment options on the podcast site altogether. Since on the show, I really only point listeners to my email, the phone number, or the forums to comment. I never mentioned, you know, commenting on the podcast page. At least I haven't in a long, long, long time. But I've kept the podcast page commenting options up because you can pretty much remain anonymous if you want. And I think because of that, I tend to get some of the most, we might say, unfiltered comments from there. And I want to keep those doors of communication open for folks who dislike or maybe even out and out hate what I'm saying, even if the conversation amounts to nothing more than a single comment and my response. My hope is that eventually those folks will want to have a more back-and-forth productive exchange of ideas, maybe on the forums or via email with me. But in the meantime, I'm content for folks who prefer to keep some distance to use the podcast page for commenting. Still, though, if you want to give me your thoughts, the best way to connect with me and have a productive exchange of ideas is by email, paeter@spiritblade.net. Or you can call and leave a message that I can play on the podcast, like I've said before, 206-350-1226. And I'm fine. I will play your rants if there's something like, Pater, or whatever. I'll totally play it. And there's also the forums, spiritblade.net/forums. We do try to keep things, unlike whatever you feel like throwing at me with email and the phone, you can, you know, rage and hulk out if you want. We do try to keep things kind of even keeled and even tempered on the forums. But so if you're really feeling like, then email or phone number would be the way to go. But there's some great back and forth discussions and great exchange of ideas that's gone on since we launched the forums, and that's a great place to connect and really kind of put ideas on the table and just kind of, you know, mix them around and poke and prod them and see what we can learn. That's at spiritblade.net/forums, and in particular the forum thread there, Seeking Truth. And, you know, if you email me and would prefer I not share your email message on the podcast, feel free to let me know, and I'm happy to just keep that conversation between us. I've done that a number of times before. And I love having those just private email conversations with folks who want to talk about stuff. All right, as we close up here, don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. There is a cool service that I'm offering to, it's really offered to anybody, but I'm only advertising it through the newsletter. So at the very least, you might want to visit the newsletter page at spiritblade.net/newsletter and look at the last post, because it's a temporary service that's only going to be in effect until November 18th. It's kind of in conjunction with the sale going on. But the newsletter is also your monthly dose of the biggest news, discounts, and free content from Spirit Blade Productions, including some huge discount opportunities and giveaways not advertised anywhere else. You can sign up today or read the newsletter at spiritblade.net/newsletter. Okay, that's it for this week, guys. Have a great week, and let's each do our best in every given moment that we can to seek the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Pater is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.